Recapping the weekend in sports and previewing the week ahead. This is FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty.
All right, welcome in. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LaBounty, Ian Blair with you on this Monday night. And, you know, we haven't had guests on the show in a while. We really haven't had to with all the college football to talk about. But figured big weekend with the Masters. And, you know, I wanted to get my guy Randy Bergen on to talk about the Masters. So we'll be talking with him here in this next segment about a November weekend in Augusta rather than an April weekend in Augusta. And also, you know, seven SEC games were originally scheduled for this last weekend, and only three were played, and only one involving a top 25 ranked team with the Florida Gators. So why not get another guest on tonight, and somebody who knows his way around a football field, Sherman Williams, with the Palmer Williams Gala coming up. And we'll talk with him here in tonight's show as well. And, you know, we'll ask him about the Alabama Crimson Tide and see if we can't sneak in a Dallas Cowboys question or two. I think those are the only two teams he's contractually allowed to talk about, actually, since his name is the Crimson Cowboy. But, Corey, how you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful, Dalton. I mean, it's great Monday night. Plenty of things going on to talk about every Monday, and it's always a pleasure to join you to talk about those events that are taking place as we're on the air and that have transpired since you've been on the air this morning.
Yeah, a lot's happened since this morning. I write out kind of the things I imagine we'll be talking about on Sports Night, and normally it's news that comes over the course of the weekend. But today alone, there's been enough that we could fill an hour with the news from the sports world. I think the biggest news in the sports world right now has to do with New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees. Now, we knew he was injured yesterday. He left during halftime. Well, he didn't leave. He stayed on the sideline. But as the Saints were playing the San Francisco 49ers, who know a thing or two about injuries this year, Drew Brees stayed on the sidelines. And Jameis Winston came in as backup quarterback and didn't do much, but led the Saints to a win after Drew Brees put him in the end zone a few times. And I don't think anyone expected this news from New Orleans. Brees now expected to miss at least the next few weeks after x-rays and an MRI revealed he has multiple rib fractures as well as a collapsed lung. It's ESPN's Ed Warder with the report today. He said Brees fractured ribs on both sides of his chest and that his right lung may have been punctured by the right side rib fractures, and it occurred over the last couple of weeks, not just from this weekend's game. Warder reported that the two broken ribs on Brees' right side occurred in the first half from yesterday's victory over the Niners, and that's when Jameis Winston came back in to finish the game. The three fractured ribs on the left side of Brees' chest are believed to have actually occurred in the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. They said optimistically Brees could be back in action in 2 to 3 weeks, but doctors have told him to be very careful with that damage to his lung, which only makes sense. Saints head coach Sean Payton did speak with the media today and did not offer any updates on Brees' injury status and didn't offer any updates on who might replace him at quarterback this weekend either. Of course, Winston came in and he completed 6 of 10 passes for 63 yards, 0 touchdowns, and 0 turnovers. But Taysom Hill also got a lot of play yesterday. It seemed every time I turned my eyes to the TV, Taysom Hill was running over somebody or trying to run over someone. Payton said he will not announce the starting quarterback until later this week. But after last season, when Brees was out for a time with that thumb injury and backup quarterback Teddy Bridgewater came in, resurrected his career, and he's now playing pretty well in Carolina. Not many expected Bridgewater to ever play again, kind of like that Alex Smith injury. But Bridgewater's got a career now, and we'll see if Jameis Winston can do the same thing.
Well, the Falcons play the Saints next week, and moving forward, if you're a Saints fan, you just don't want Jameis Winston to turn the football over if that's the route you're going. And if Taysom is the quarterback, you don't want him rushing the football that many times because you don't want to take an opportunity to take that weapon out. So if I'm Peyton, I'll probably start Jameis Winston at quarterback and then just continue to put the packages that are in place for Hill at quarterback. But, you know, you get him out for a couple of weeks, you're looking at the Falcons that the Saints face, and the Falcons are 3-6, and then you start looking down the line a couple of weeks later for the Saints. Saints, and they're going to play the Denver Broncos, who are currently 3-6. So it's a couple of games that the Saints will have an opportunity to get Drew Brees healthy for that playoff push.
And he's left them in a much better situation at this point in the year than he did last year with his injury. No one expected Bridgewater to lead the Saints to a 6-0 record while he was in at quarterback. Right now, Saints tied with the best record with the Green Bay Packers in the NFC at 7-2. So unless they just lose every game or most games from here on out, they're likely a playoff team, and you have to think that Brees will be ready about that time. But I'm interested in seeing what Winston can do. I'm interested, you know, Brees, for as great as he is, he's lost that ability to really chunk the ball down the field, and that's something that Winston is really, really good at. With Michael Thomas getting healthy, Emmanuel Sanders, some of these weapons they have on offense, Winston will really open things up down the field, and that'll be interesting to see.
You know, he's chomping at the bit to get an opportunity to earn that next contract to show that he still belongs in the NFL.
And how about Brees leading them to two touchdown drives with those injuries? That's just absolutely unbelievable. And speaking of injuries, Matt Zenitz with AL.com reports that Alabama wide receiver Jaylen Waddle could possibly be back in time for the college football playoff this year. Now, Alabama has to make it into the playoff, which most people probably expect this season. And Waddle, what an injury. In that very first play in the Tennessee Vols game last month, it looked like he wouldn't be playing for the rest of the year. But they're saying now that he's going to probably get his cast off at some point this week and could be ready for the college football playoff later this year. And he was just having an outstanding season. It's so unfortunate that that happened to anybody. But with Waddle, in four games, he had 25 receptions for 557 yards and four touchdowns. And that's before you even get into any of the returns he was making or any reverses that were run his way. So that's good news for Alabama. He could possibly be on his way back.
The most explosive player in college football up until he had that injury. And you compare it to Kenyon Drake when he did have the injury, the type of surgery that was performed. And, you know, Alabama having the couple of bye weeks, it not only helps him because it helps the players refresh themselves, but Waddle, if he's able to come back at any point in time, which he does not have to because he can chase that bag, meaning he can chase that money and go into the NFL. I would love to see him come back because you don't want a collegiate career to end the way it did for him.
Yeah, if everything comes back fine on his medical reports, he's a first-round receiver regardless of whether he comes back or not. So, but you know these guys, and you know Waddle. He wants to come back, I'm sure. Alabama running back Trey Sanders, we haven't talked about this because the news came out early last week. Looks like he may miss the remainder of this season after suffering non-life-threatening injuries in a car crash last Friday, so over a week ago at this point. Sanders was traveling with his brother in Clarksville, Florida, when the vehicle they were in was struck at an intersection. They actually had to airlift him to Bay Medical Center in Panama City. His brother's fine, and Sanders is expected to make a full recovery, but apparently he suffered some pretty bad injuries in that car accident.
That's a tough, rough road for him to hold, because a year ago, you look at his injury and being redshirted and then getting injured again, he'll have another year of eligibility due to the pandemic, but it's still, you love to see, you don't want it to be what could have been for this young man. You want to see his future continue to shine bright.
Well said. Well, not many people are saying what could have been with Will Muschamp. I think you know what you're getting with him now, and South Carolina feels certain that he's no longer their guy. He won't be leading the Gamecocks to the promised land. They fired him after losing their third game in a row, South Carolina, this time 59-42 to Ole Miss. Gamecocks now 2-5 and have allowed 159 points total during their three-game losing streak. This is the number, though, that I can't get over. They gave up 708 yards of total offense in this weekend's loss to Ole Miss. Muschamp, a defensive guy, right? He's supposed to at least have them pretty tidy on that side of the ball. I mean, you can forgive him for not putting an offense out there, but when you're giving up 708 yards of offense in one game, that's a problem.
Be an analyst on Nick Saban's staff at Alabama. $25 million between his two buyouts between Florida and South Carolina. Not too shabby. Not a reason to feel bad for him.
Yeah, 4 years remaining on his contract, and they said $13 million buyout. So he's going to be getting that Butch Jones retirement plan where he can just do whatever he wants for the next few years.
Be an analyst, but I would not like to see him as Alabama's next defensive coordinator. I would rather see, if Golding leaves, I'd rather see Charlie Strong get an opportunity. But it's amazing how some coaches just – are better assistant coaches than head coaches.
Meanwhile, Mike Bobo, the offensive coordinator and a guy that the SEC knows well, he's going to serve as the Gamecocks interim coach. And don't laugh, but they said he could possibly win the job permanently if he does well to close out the rest of the season. And also, one more game already postponed for this coming weekend, the Ole Miss game at Texas A&M has been postponed due to COVID-19. Second game in a row for the Aggies that they'll have to postpone. A lot of A&M players remain in quarantine. Only one positive test on the team, but now they're going to miss their second game. That means they could be playing December 19th on SEC Championship Saturday. Could be playing, Ole Miss then, but we'll have to see. All right, 6:16, we'll talk with Randy Bergen when we get back on the other side of the break.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 6:19, FM Talk 106.5, Sports Night. It's a beautiful day out in Augusta, Georgia. Now we throw it over to Jim Nantz, live from the Masters. Are you there, Jim?
A tradition unlike any other. Hello, friends. Glad to be with you. The 84th playing of the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. That's the best I can do, Dalton. That's the best I can do, brother.
That is outstanding. Somewhere Scooter is giving a standing ovation for that impersonation. Randy Bergen, how are you? What a great weekend of golf. The Masters in November, I never expected to see that. That's for sure.
Well, I don't think anyone did. And I'm doing great. Obviously, it was a great weekend for the Masters. And to be playing it in November, you know, we talked about it a lot on the show. We thought that it would be firm. It would be fast. And, of course, they got that big rain in on Wednesday that softened everything up. And these guys just went, I mean, they just went target practicing and, like, throwing darts at these pins. And certainly, you got to give the big man, DJ Dustin Johnson, a big round of applause for the way he played and getting his first green jacket. You could tell if you watched the end of it, you could tell it was very emotional for him and something that he really wanted it, like we all would.
Yeah, and you know, some guys have it all, and Dustin Johnson's one of those. If you saw who he walked off the green with and has been walking off the green with for the last few years.
I noticed the jacket. That's all I noticed.
Sure. Okay, Corey. Yeah, right. That's all
yeah,
I noticed,
yeah, right,
too.
Corey. Yeah.
But DJ, I mean, you said they were throwing darts, and they sure were, because DJ broke a new record for the Masters, 20 under par. That snapped Tiger and JT's, I guess, tied record that they had at 18 under par. But it wasn't just him. The field as a whole, they averaged a lower score than we've ever seen at the Masters. So, I think it's obvious it played easier in November than it does in April.
Well, it certainly appeared that way. I don't think there's a question about it. One of the other records that was broke is the young man from Australia, mm-hmm. Cameron Smith. He came in and shot in the 60s, four rounds in the 60s. Now, think about this. That has never happened at the Masters before. 84, the 84th playing of it, and it has never happened before. So you've had over 6,000 golfers that have come through there, not able to do it. Obviously, if you didn't make the cut, you didn't have the opportunity to do that. So let's cut it down to 4,000, a little over 4,000, never got done. But Cameron Smith comes in and stays in the 60s. I think just remarkable. Keep your eye on him. He's going to be good. There were some names that you don't really hear a lot of. Mm-hmm. Dylan Fratilli, okay, the South African, who actually, and I'll tell you, I almost had him on my pick, on my pool, and I scratched him off. Should have stayed on there, might have helped me out a little bit. But Sungjae Im, there's another guy that is extremely good, rookie of the year, and CT Pan. Mm-hmm. Just some different names that you don't really hear a lot of. But Justin Thomas, we were kind of expecting a lot out of him, and I think the biggest disappointment of the Masters was Bryson DeChambeau.
No doubt about that. And I want to talk about him in just a second. But those names you just rolled off there, other than Justin Thomas, all international players too, which I think says something about where this game is going. Corey, you got something here?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about an $11 million purse that was won, but outside of that, no fans. I think that was one of the biggest disappointments for anybody who loved the anticipation of the Masters being played in April. But the question I have also, Randy, behind no fans being there, and did that affect the golfers, is the fact, will the Masters, is it planning on being held again in April, or is it just on hold waiting to see what this virus is going to do in 2021?
Well, I think the word is, yeah, they're planning on April the 5th, cranking it up that week, Monday, April the 5th, and you know, which is less than, what, 5 months away. Hopefully we'll be able to have fans out there, because as much as I enjoy the Masters, and in April it is my favorite week. I can tell you on that weekend, I try not to do anything except keep my eyeballs on that TV. But I'm going to tell you, for me, I enjoyed watching a lot of these great shots. But not having the fans there, that excitement, that roar, I think was kind of different for the golfers as well. Because, you know, when you're out there and they hear that roar way across the field, something big has happened, and they know that. And then they start looking at the leaderboards. Mm-hmm. And I just think that it took a little bit away. And, you know, it's kind of like a Wednesday afternoon golf match. All right. These guys just went out. It was soft. They could do what they wanted, and they didn't have to worry about the nerves so much in front of fans.
Well, even though DJ has been dominant here of late, and now two major championships, I think he's won 25 or 26 tournaments, certainly deserves that number one ranking. The two guys that have been the most talked about, one we're used to talking about week in and week out, and that's Tiger Woods, but the other is Bryson DeChambeau, who I don't know if you can run your mouth at a golf course. That's what Bryson did with this Augusta National course. He said he was going to be all over it, and he certainly was. He averaged 330 yards off the tee. That was more than 15 yards further than the second-ranked driver of the weekend, but he just he couldn't control it. And then he had excuses by Saturday and Sunday. What'd you make of DeChambeau's four rounds?
Well, you know, and I think he went out there, and I believe that he really thought he was going to be able to walk the walk. And when it got a little squirrely for him, here's one thing you got to remember. When you're hitting it now, and this is the important thing about the fans again, when you're hitting it 350, 360 yards, you better have some good eyeballs also, because if there's no fans out there to tell you where it is, guess what happens? If you can't find it, it's going to be a penalty for you. And I think that's what happened to DJ, and he lost, with Bryson, and it cost him mentally, and he just fell apart. Now, he tried to get it back, but here's a guy that I believe he really thought he had an opportunity to win that. And I think that he did. But it doesn't matter sometimes how far you hit it. Ask John Daly. John Daly used to be one of the longest drivers out there. You know that, right? Yeah. You still had to play that second shot, and you still had to make the putt, okay? And I think that is something that Bryson has done good at. But, buddy, whenever you get in trouble off that tee box and you're in some of that rough, and or you can't find your ball, then, yeah, it's going to play havoc in your brain.
Yeah, we've all heard it, drive for show and putt for dough. And
exactly.
The golf gods don't like it when you talk about their courses. They certainly didn't like that from DeChambeau leading into this tournament. So the other one I mentioned there, Tiger Woods, he looked all right, I guess, the first 2 days. And then it kind of fell apart for him, as well as his back falling apart on him. I know in day four yesterday he was having trouble even getting out of the bunker. And that 10 that he shot on the par 3 12th really did a number to his scorecard. He was able to pull it back together and birdie five of the last six holes. So who knows, if he would have shot a 10 on the first day, he could have gone 50 or 60 under the way he played yesterday.
Yeah. You know, it just goes to show you. I got you. You know, it goes to show you, though. I mean, here's a guy that took a 10 on a par 3. That means right there on that one hole, he was plus 7, okay, on the one hole. And he was able to battle back. And as you mentioned, he had, five out of the last six holes he made birdies on.
Yeah.
And it shows that his mental side is still there. Typically in the past, you would know he'd kind of grab his back. He might withdraw, whatever the reason is. But I was happy to see that. And Tiger, whether you love him or hate him, is very important to this game of golf, because he has really changed the way people view it and gotten a lot of folks out there. You know, one of the neat things also, if you look at coming in to the Masters ranked number one, how many folks do you think ranked number one has won the Masters?
I'm going to go with a low number. That's why you're asking. I'd say maybe two.
Well, it's actually now four, okay? You had Ian Woosnam, who did it in 1991. Fred Couples followed him in 1992. And then, aforementioned Tiger Woods, he did it in 2001, 2002. And, of course, Dustin Johnson coming in on the official World Golf Rankings. Ranked number one, comes in and gets the victory at Augusta National. So, look, I think it's great. We get to see it again in 5 months. I'm excited about it. And I had on the show with me yesterday one of my good friends, John Drago, who is the tournament director for the AT&T Byron Nelson. That'll happen in May. And we were talking a little bit about fans and everything. And look, these tournament directors, these tournaments, they want fans out there. Okay, so hopefully 2020 can get away, and we can get into 2021 and get some fans out there.
Amen. And the golfing world rolls on. I mean, they've got a tournament coming up this weekend, and then the next major that'll be played is the Masters in April. Hopefully, I say the next major that'll be played. That's the next one we hope to see played.
Absolutely.
Certainly a good weekend. A bit anticlimactic with how well Dustin Johnson played. I don't like seeing Tiger grab his back like that, but I think as we look forward to the future of PGA, we've got a lot of young guys and a lot of international guys that will keep this fun for the coming future.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think it is in very good hands. I mean, some of the young kids, we mentioned some just a few moments ago, but how about Colin Morikawa? This young man is very good. But we're excited about it. We're excited about it.
All right. That's Randy Bergen. Thanks for joining us tonight, Randy. And people Always need fun. To listen to you on Sunday, right?
Absolutely, 11 to 1 right here on FM Talk 106.5. It is Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show with me and Danny Spivey.
All right, and coming back, we'll talk with a guy that Randy likes, I'm sure, a lot, Sherman Williams, the Crimson Cowboy. We'll be talking with him right here on Sports Night on the way next.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Erwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Erwig, Corey LaBounty with you on this Monday night. Ian Blair on the boards. Want to thank Randy Bergen for joining us to talk a little bit about Masters in November, something I never thought I'd say. Interested to talk to our next guest. I say interested. I'm excited to talk with Sherman Williams, the Crimson Cowboy, who, well, he does so many great things in our community, and another Iron Bowl Legends Benefit Gala fundraiser coming up later this month right here in Mobile. Sherman, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I'm doing great, man. It's a pleasure to be on with you guys. You guys do a great job and everything of getting the word out and talking sports, high school sports, and all types of sports. So it's a good thing.
Palmer Williams Group is hosting the 4th Annual Benefit Gala this coming or next Monday, the 23rd, at the Battle House Hotel. Tell us a little bit about it, being the 4th year and turning this into an annual event for yourself and your nonprofit organization.
Well, the Iron Bowl Legends Benefit Gala is a great event, man. Coming together, the two universities, Alabama and Auburn universities, a lot of fans think that we're a big rivalry, but the players in general, we played together in high school, played against each other in high school, so it's an opportunity for us to come back together. But we couldn't do it without our community partners, you know, Winfrey Hospitality, Pilot Catastrophe, Hargrove Engineers, and Palmer's Toyota, and different organizations in the community. They do a great job of supporting us, giving us an opportunity to give back to these children in the community of Mobile and Baldwin County, man. And we come out, we have a great event, man. It's players from both teams, players who played in the Iron Bowl. We come out, we have a live auction, a silent auction. And this year, we try to alternate each year with a different speaker from one of the universities. And this year, we're going to have Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson is a Iron Bowl legend who played 4 years at the university, also was a first-round draft pick for the Cleveland Browns, going to come out and testify and tell his story about his ups and downs and everything that, you know, he go through and went through in NFL career and everything. So it's going to be a great event, man, and we just want everyone to come out and enjoy it. And it also gives us an opportunity to raise funds. You know, people can visit our website if they want to purchase tickets. It's a $100 donation for a dinner plate. You have dinner and drinks and different things. And also, it's an opportunity for sponsorships to get your name mentioned in different ads and commercials and all that type of stuff. So we invite the local business owners out, but it's the number one goal is to raise funds to continue to promote our youth development programs in the communities of Mobile and Baldwin County.
Yeah, so Sherman, tell us about the Palmer Williams Group. If somebody was just walking by you on the street and said, Palmer Williams Group, what's that all about? What would you tell that person?
I would tell them that we have a youth development program. We help children that come from socially disadvantaged backgrounds. We get them involved in life skills. We teach them about, you know, the importance of having spirituality, the importance of financial literacy, the importance of education, how to have job skills, job training, but we also have a youth athletic component of our organization because we feel like our sports and our background gave us an opportunity in life to express ourselves and also gave us an opportunity to get a higher education. So sports in general is a great avenue to reach the children, and we use sports as well with our backgrounds, me and David. But the program is about helping young people see a better tomorrow. You know, that's our mission statement, helping today's youth see a better tomorrow. And we just want to give them opportunities that they don't have otherwise, you know, offering them a platform to express themselves, whether it be sports, whether it be educational, whether it be musical, whether it be holistic with spirituality. We just want to give them everything that we can to give them an opportunity to be successful adults.
I love it. Absolutely love it, Sherman. And who knows, some of those kids may end up playing in the NFL just like you one day. And so that's this coming Monday, Battle House Hotel from 5:30 to 9 o'clock. And like you said, tickets online, palmerswilliamgroup.org. And I also saw an email address that people can reach out, Gala, G-A-L-A, at palmerwilliamsgroup.org, or a phone number, 251-644-3125. That's 251-644-3125. So we're looking forward to that, and also hopefully looking forward to more college football this season. I know things are a bit touch and go right now with COVID-19, and four of the seven SEC games this last weekend postponed. So I'm hoping they can continue to play, but I mean, you've got to be ecstatic with how your Crimson Tide have looked through their first 6 weeks of the year.
Mac Jones, man, he's playing lights out. You know, the dark horse in the Heisman Trophy race. Najee is doing what he normally do. Alabama running game is going to be the running game. Coach Saban is still Coach Saban. Not expecting anything too much to fall off of what it's been, but the way these guys are playing, you know, having a first-round pick quarterback a season ago and then having a quarterback coming right behind them playing lights out the way Mac is playing, I just think that, you know, just a testament to our tradition and to the organization and everyone who supports the program and everything about Alabama football. You know, it's just a great thing that we've established over the years, and I'm just glad to see that it's continuing on. You know, some programs go through ups and downs, and you know, we went through our little battles and struggles in the late 90s, early 2000s, but we've been able to bounce back since then. So I'm just happy with what we're doing right now. I just hope we can keep it going.
I hope we can keep it going, too. And, you know, one of the great things about your gala is that you bring former Iron Bowl stars together. The Iron Bowl, in a couple of weeks, you know, this Auburn defense has continued to get better as the season has gone on. What are you looking forward to the Iron Bowl? I know you guys will do some ribbing at each other next Monday night as well.
Yeah, you know, the Iron Bowl is the Iron Bowl, man. I don't think, you know, not to take COVID for granted or anything like that, or lessen COVID, because I know there's a lot of families out there that lost loved ones behind the pandemic. But at the same time, I think the Iron Bowl is a game that's necessary to give the state of Alabama, you know, the football is our prize. And, you know, bringing us together next week and having this opportunity to talk about it and have jokes and fun, because, you know, me and Damian Craig are good friends. He was my high school quarterback. He went to the Auburn University. I went to Alabama, but we're still very good friends. We talk. And it's a good thing to have this rivalry, man, to have this thing played in Alabama, give people something to do. But we always look forward to the Iron Bowl. It's a 365-day game. You know, it's not one day of the year. Any day, spring, winter, summer, or fall, you could have an Iron Bowl conversation. It's just great to have that as part of our culture here in the state of Alabama. And you know, for us guys to get back together and come out for a great cause to raise funds to help young people, it just all works together.
You know, you mentioned Najee Harris and how well he's playing at a position that you were outstanding in. But did you, in all of your years, did you ever expect to see an Auburn offense open it up the way they have these last few years? It was always about the run game and playing great defense. And now they look like Oklahoma State or another team you expect to just open it up and throw the ball down the field. I never saw this coming years ago.
Well, it's a change in the times. You know, Auburn is one of those traditional programs as well, even going back from Pat Guy and Terry Bowden and coming up through the 90s and, you know, Tuberville and Chiswick. you know, they have a great program. They're able to adjust. They haven't fell off to the point to where it's just going to obscurity. So they're doing what they have to do to adjust. They're playing some good football. They put a good whooping on LSU. So, you know, it's a good thing, you know, to have that competitive nature and to have a good game. The Iron Bowl coming up, we don't want to just have a game where it's just a one-sided, lopsided. So it's good for the competitive spirit to have Auburn out there to be a quality opponent. And I'm looking forward to a great game. I think that they're going to do a good job. They always do. The Iron Bowl is the Iron Bowl, and everyone's going to play number one A1 game when a game like that.
Well said. We just had someone text the station. They said, we're a huge fan of Sherman's group, Eastern Shore Sertoma Club. We have sponsored their group and can testify of the work they do. So that's an outstanding text coming into the station. And one more time, the gala, it's this coming Monday night. Where will it be and how can folks get tickets?
The gala will be at the Battle House Renaissance Hotel, downtown Royal Street, Mobile, Alabama. People can go to our website at PalmerWilliamsGroup.org and visit our organization. We also would like to thank the people at Sertoma Club over there in the Eastern Shore. They have been a great, great sponsor for our program, and we really do appreciate them as well. And we want to continue that partnership, but people can always visit our website and learn everything about what we do. And for this gala coming up, they can purchase tickets, and if they would like to become sponsors of the program, not only just for the gala, but in future events or endeavors, they can always visit our website, make a donation, come out, volunteer, give in-kind services, or whatever they like. However you can help us help these children in the communities of Mobile and Baldwin County.
Well, Sherman, thank you so much for what you're doing for the community, and I know you'll be rooting on your Blunt Leopards the following Friday in football this week as they take on the good Spanish Fort team. So it was good to see you on last Friday and continue up the great work that you're doing for the community.
Yes, sir. Once a leopard, always a leopard. Go Leopards.
There you go. Sherman Williams from Blunt to Bama to Dallas. Man, what a legend there, and great things he's doing in the community. All right, coming back, we'll wrap up Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Haven't even gotten to half my notes, Corey, so we'll have to spin the roulette wheel and see where we go next. Sports Night, more on the way.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names, you're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig, Corey LeBounty, Ian Blair. I want to thank Randy Bergen and Sherman Williams for joining us tonight. Also, you for the texts at 251-343-0106. We talked a little bit of NFL at the very beginning of the show with the injury to Drew Brees. And at 41 years old, man, he's definitely in the twilight of his career. You hate to see him miss any amount of time. And maybe not Tom Brady. He's probably pretty... he won't say it. He's probably pretty happy that Brees is out because
Right. Now
that's he can add to his record as they were, you know, going back and forth week over week. But we have to talk about the play of the day yesterday, the play of the season, I think, to this point. And a young quarterback played at Oklahoma, went over to Arizona, and I didn't know what to expect of Kyler Murray coming into the NFL. I mean, he's a tiny guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just start with that. Didn't know whether his speed would work with all these NFL athletes around him, but he's outstanding. He's playing really, really good football. And that play that he made yesterday, first off, shame on the Houston Texans and Bill O'Brien for getting rid of DeAndre Hopkins. And I hate it, even though I'm a Titans fan and the Texans obviously in our division and DeAndre Hopkins gave us fits for years. I hate it for Deshaun Watson that he lost a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, because that catch yesterday, that Hail Mary, first off, for Kyler Murray to be running full speed to the left, turning and throwing across his body like he and Patrick Mahomes do so well, and put the ball in the absolute perfect spot. I mean, if they were playing basketball, it would have been a perfect alley-oop. Mm-hmm. Only DeAndre Hopkins could get to that ball, and the hand strength it took to hold on to that with four other players, four other Buffalo Bills around him. What a catch. What a play.
it was special because you're looking at an opportunity there. Like you said, Hopkins given away for near nothing. If you're a Texans fan, like my best friend Gene Smith is, he was furious, and that's one of the reasons that O'Brien's no longer the GM and coach of that organization. But, again, it is the play of the year for the NFL, and for a little quarterback like that, you have to think about his baseball strength because he showed that he has that arm and his ability to play the outfield as well. And he chose football, and which is something I thought he would have chose baseball over football. But now when you make plays like that, it just goes to show the joy and the passion. And you like to see plays like that in the NFL because the probability rate of them winning that game was slim to none.
And I don't think anyone expected the Cardinals to be as in the mix as they are right now in the NFC West. You look at that division, and you have three teams tied at 6-3. Seattle, who going into these last couple of weeks was considered one of the top teams in the NFL, I think their defense has showed people these last couple of weeks they aren't the team that we thought they were. But the Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks all at 6-3 in the NFC West. And we talked a little bit about this injury with Drew Brees. It comes at a relatively good time for the Saints, sitting at 7-2. It's going to be really tough for them to hold on to that top spot in the NFC South with the Buccaneers right behind them at 7-3. But with seven teams making the playoff in each conference this year, I think the Saints are as close to a done deal as you can get at this point in the season. Of course, anything can happen. But I still think Jameis Winston, just like Teddy Bridgewater last year, I think Jameis Winston can really has the opportunity to play well these next three to however many weeks Breeze is out and possibly be starting on a team come next year with a nice new contract to boot.
Well, that's what it's going to take for Jameis Winston to play the rest of this season lights out until Drew Breeze returns. But when you start talking about the NFL and the games that were played yesterday, the Steelers continue to be hot. You're looking at also Tua Tagovailoa getting things done for the Dolphins as he was able to defeat Murray last week and the Cardinals organization. And now Tua is showing that he is back to the old Tua that we saw at Alabama.
Yeah, and the AFC East getting really competitive now too with the Dolphins at 6-3. Tua 3-0 as a starter. They're now one win behind the Buffalo Bills. They've played one fewer game. But New England looked great last night as well, beating on the Baltimore Ravens. So who knows what kind of run Cam Newton and Bill Belichick can go on. It's been a really competitive NFL season and should be competitive to the end with some of these teams. Now, looking at Miami's upcoming schedule, they play at the Broncos this weekend. That's never easy in November in Denver, but it looks like Drew Lock, starting quarterback for the Broncos, may be out this weekend. Then they have the Jets. We could be looking at two more wins for the Miami Dolphins these next 2 weeks. And then December 6th, Miami Dolphins at home against the Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow. That is going to be fascinating watching those two quarterbacks battle.
Two rookie quarterbacks. We talked about it last week, whether this would be one of the best rookie classes for quarterbacks to come out, and that's yet to be determined. But so far, the rookies have been putting on a show, and I do look forward to that matchup. But my Dolphins continuing to getting it done, and again, I didn't care that we tanked for Tua. It didn't matter as long as he landed in Miami, which he did, and he's showing why he's being very productive.
That worked out really well for you, didn't it?
It did.
You have to wonder who's pulling those strings in the Miami organization. I think Corey LeBounty might have a hand in that. But it'll be interesting. He hasn't played as many games as Burrow or Herbert, but if he comes out and beats the Chargers and beats the Bengals, that's at least something that'll go on Tua's resume for Offensive Rookie of the Year at the end of the year. All right, hopefully we'll get some more college SEC games in this weekend than we did the last. Mentioned that they've already postponed Ole Miss at Texas A&M for this coming Saturday. Who knows what else could be canceled by the time we get around 5 days from now. But looking at the lines as they stand, Alabama set to host Kentucky, and the Tide opened as 29.5-point favorites. You see any reason for concern in that game, Corey, with the Wildcats?
You just want to stay healthy. That's the biggest thing for Alabama moving forward, stay healthy.
And Georgia ranked fifth. No, look, Georgia dropped way back. They're 13th now. They're hosting Mississippi State, and the Bulldogs favored by 24. That game could be a little dangerous. I know Mississippi State has really fallen off a cliff, but sometimes you just never know with them, although Georgia shouldn't have much trouble against that team. LSU plays at Arkansas, and the Razorbacks actually favored by 1 in this game. What a fall for the defending national champions. Tennessee playing at Auburn, and I'm surprised by this line. I honestly am. The Auburn Tigers favored by only 10 points. over the Tennessee Vols. And as a Vols fan, I look at that number and say that is far too short of a number the way Tennessee's been playing these last few
weeks. Jeremy Pruitt needs a big game, and that was a game early on in the schedule when they came out that we circled that could be a great matchup going into the Iron Bowl. But you want to see Auburn get out of that game healthy too, which sets up a great Iron Bowl that Sherman Williams talked about.
And last year, or maybe it was the season before, the Tennessee win over Auburn, that's one of those that Malzahn was not supposed to lose, and he did, and people were calling for his job following that one. So Auburn definitely has some revenge factor in this game. Also, South Carolina now without Will Muschamp. Mike Bobo takes over as the interim head coach. They are hosting Missouri this weekend, and Mizzou favored by 5 points. And you also, the other game, Florida playing at Vanderbilt. Vandy played Kentucky pretty tight this weekend. They're still winless, and now 30.5-point dogs to Kyle Trask and the Florida Gators. So I expect the Gator chomp to continue.
I do too.
I don't think it's going to be much of an issue for them. All right, that does it. Another great week, another great episode of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. I want to thank Randy Bergen, Sherman Williams, also my guys, Corey Labounty and Ian Blair, for being with us on this Monday night. Coming up next, Sweet Home Canabama with Jennifer Boozer. Thanks, and listen to me tomorrow morning, Mobile Mornings from 6 to 9. And that does it. FM Talk 106.5.